that you just will be with us in a very special way today. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought I would shift gears and go into another little subject, which is a very, very big subject. But I want us to look at the thoughts of forgiveness. Forgiveness is probably one of the things in the lives of people that is very hard to accomplish. And so we have to recognize, and we want the Lord to help us. Sometimes, you know, I was pretty good age when I really realized that I was holding something against my cousin. Nothing that she had done, just the fact that she was, and she was better than me, and everybody let me know she's better than me. And but, you know, that's why sometimes we have to be sort of open to the Lord and understand some of the ways we feel, some of the things that we have, some of the little actions that we have and little attitudes we have. And God is so marvelous to open to our heart these things. So I want to just sort of talk about it, and we're not going into a great depth. We're just going to look at, we talk about the heart. Of course, the heart is our spiritual, it's the spiritual center of our life. It is in our little heart over here. Now, I love my little heart over here. Very happy it keeps beating. But this heart is deeper than that. And, you know, when years ago, when they first started heart transplants, you know, oh, what a thing in the church. They, some of them couldn't imagine, how could you have a heart transplant? Why, then silly. They thought the heart, truly, this little organism here, had some spiritual value, I guess. So we people can really be off at times. Anyway, let's look at, it's the depths of us, it's what makes us do what we do. It's what is the real true us, the attitudes, the feelings, the emotions. And so who knows, you know, when, because we talk about the subconscious, and of course the subconscious isn't in the heart down here, it's up here in the head, in that area of the brain. So you and I really don't know and cannot pinpoint our spirit. It's just the whole us. And it can affect us, just like physical, just like emotional, spiritual problems can really affect us. And I know that for a truth. And so we're going to talk, and just want you to think about this and recognize the depths of what unforgiveness can come to. You know, I've said it before, families can be really good when they're young, have fun together. But then when they get older and they get married and they have husbands and they have wives, then another element comes in altogether into the large family, because they're married, but they're really not flesh and blood. And sometimes their allegiance is not that way. And this can cause some real rifts in families and in the lives of people. And there are some that they haven't talked to each other for years. On Facebook, those that ask for prayer. Sometimes they'll talk about those it's been a long time. They never speak to each other, but they want to see their family come back together again. But what, this is just because of this unforgiving spirit. Now, how does it sometimes manifest itself in us? You know, we may say, and I love this saying because I used it so long, I don't have anything against them. But inside I would say, but I don't have anything for them. You know, that type of thing. And sometimes we try to cover that up and we feel like it's, well, I really don't have, you know, I've forgiven them. But, you know, there is a fine line between the fact of forgiving a person and being able to be yourself with that person. They may not be, what shall I say, they may not want to reconcile, and then you have to allow it to be where it is. But when you're yourself, when you can laugh, when you can joke, when you can talk, when you can, you know, have no feelings at all against them, you know that you really have come to that place in your heart where you have forgiven. For it doesn't matter if they hold against you, because that's part of life. It hurts you because we're human, because we have emotions. We're not superhuman. You know, when Jesus saved us, he didn't put a shield over us from head to foot so nothing could hurt us. The only thing that he said is, I'll protect you from the enemy, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But he doesn't say that we won't have feelings or sicknesses or sorrows. They all come in life. So let us look to see some of the things that may be telltaling that there is a problem. And many times, unforgiving people have these types of actions and attitudes. One of them is judgmental. You know, unforgiveness is actually being judging the person because we won't forgive them. But judgmental, people who seem to have a focus on the wrong things, on the past wrongs that offenders have committed. And they always have this sense of judgmental sense. Well, she did, but this is she. Oh, I know she did something nice for mother, but you know what she was like before. You know, so there's always that sense of judgmental there for those who haven't truly forgiven. They're merciless. They go over the reasons why the offender doesn't deserve to be forgiven. You see, the Lord tells us blessed is the merciful, which means that we let things go and we show mercy to that person because, you know, this is actually the heart of it. Jesus said in his prayer, forgive those who do things against you, because if you don't, he can't forgive us. Why? Because of these very things I'm talking about. Because he was merciful to us. And I would never go through my past with anyone. But when I look to see my past, I think how much he forgave me. How wonderful it was, his very love for me, that he could forgive me. So, you see, when we're going to be like Jesus, then these are the traits that he must see in us. But when we have a heart that just will not or can, well, sometimes I just can't do it, but will not or cannot, these are some of the things that are in this heart. Resentful. Begrudging the success of the offender. You know, when somebody gets praised and, oh my, you know, that just hurts clear through. He doesn't deserve that. You see, the judgmental comes in. If I were them, I wouldn't even have anything to do with him. There's your merciful, your merciless there. So they become many times resentful of them. Then they become vengeful. They rejoice if anything happens to them bad, anything that's wrong, any failures they experience or difficulties or even hurts. Well, they deserved it. They've hurt others. They deserve to be hurt too, you know. So they have that revengeful thought. Then we have the one that we talk about to others. We talk about their faults and their offenses. You know, I have found out something about unforgiveness, that if you're in a family or in a work, and sometimes when people do something against you, and then you just sort of feel like all your friends should be against them too, you know? And why do they like the boss the way he's treated me? And so they want those against them. And so they'll do all kinds of things to hurt them, intentionally to hurt them. And they'll sometimes spread rumors. They'll tell things that aren't true. And this is the heart. And we're very proud. You say, well, anyway, I'm better than they are. You know, this girl comes into marriage. She didn't come from as good a family, and her education doesn't come up to what the family's education is. And so many times there are those that can look down on them. And I think you think to yourself now, when they've done something to me, but after all, you can't expect any better. You know, they're down. You know, what can you expect from that person? Very proud of who you are and what they aren't. Sometimes we can be very verbal, abusive toward that offender. I've seen this in families. Oh, I remember one time I went to a New Year's in Taiwan, a New Year's pre-dinner, you know, the evening when everybody comes in. I don't know if you do that in China. In Taiwan, that's the time that everybody gets together and eat, because the next day you have to go to see your mother, you know, that kind of thing. So I was at this family eating, and they had a new sister-in-law. Or I don't know if they were married yet, but they were almost married, I think. Anyway, the one sister, she has a very, her spirit, she's one that really can't forgive. You know, and it's so evident. And so here, the girl came over and had a gift for her. And the way she treated her, and she didn't accept the gift. And the way she treated her, oh, it hurt me so bad. It really hurt me. And so people can do that, and they can be very abusive without saying a word, or they can say little things that can hurt you deeply and cause, well, you know, her children, they are the worst kids I've ever seen. You know, trying to abuse and let them know how she is. Complaining. Quick to quarrel over a personal choice, words and deeds. Quick to just complain. What does she bring that for? She knows we don't like it. You know, she knows my mother doesn't like that. What does she bring that for? And so we have that complaining spirit. Impatient. You exhibit little patience while being easily provoked. You know, patience is really something that can help you. Now, I know God has given me great patience at times, but I was trained in patience. My mother was a minister of in a slums among the poor people. And she had a lot of people that she really took care of them. And they would have to have doctor's appointments. And so I would have to take them to the doctor. And I would sit there and wait and wait and wait. And maybe there was something else I had to take some people, and then I have to sit there and wait and wait and wait. Until actually, in my young life, I learned how to have my own scenarios while I'm waiting. I'm thinking up all these things, and, you know, I'm enjoying my little scenarios, and I had to learn how to do that. Well, when I got older, and I was in my 50s when I went back to Hope Sound, I began to take a group of Taiwanese out on singing tours. And of course, you know, I've learned this. People will start out as translators, but never end up that way usually. They get involved in what's going on before you know it, you know. So I had to go hour after hour after hour without anybody speaking English. And day after day after day, only when I got to the church that I could speak to people. But you know, it never bothered me. Why? Because I learned how to be very much alone with myself when I had to wait for people. So I had some good training that way. But patience, really, having patience is a wonderful virtue. Because a lot of times when you're impatient, you make mistakes. When you're impatient, a lot of times you hurt people. And so actually, we have to, and so you said, I'm going to ask God for patience. Well, hold it, you're going to get tribulations, because that's the way he teaches you patience. But anyhow, and also these people have bitter feelings. You know, bitter people, and the Bible is so real and right. Even in things in our life, it's so perfect. Because he said, when bitterness springs up in your heart, it defiles many. So it's saying, when I become bitter, then my life becomes bitter around me, and people begin. Maybe I make them bitter. Or maybe, you know, it becomes a sense of a cloud of bitterness that I know people just that are bitter, you know? And the very aroma of it is there. So this is some of the things. These are the attitudes that come out. But then what do we do? The heart also of the unforgiving, condemnation, being intolerant of any present failure of the offender. We can condemn people. And this is one of the things that God tells us not to. Because a lot of times we are wrong. Because you see, when God condemns, it's because he knows the motive, he knows the attitude, and he knows what we're about. But when we condemn, we only see one little spot, and from that we begin to condemn every little thing that happens. And you watch that. If you have a problem in your family or at your work, you'll find out that that person begins to condemn anyone that isn't perfect in their sight. They become, they contempt. They look down on people. They look down without any mercy on that offender. I've seen offenders. I've seen some that my heart has gone out to. You know, I think this even goes further. There is a sense of, I don't know how to say this, a sense of being condemning people and being contemptuous of them, even when you may not know them. But you heard they did this, or you heard they did that. And sometimes it makes you feel like, well, they deserve what they got. They deserve what they got. Well, you see, sometimes if we recognize we would deserve what we got if God did it to us, if he allowed it, you know? So there is said to be a sense of a mercy. You know, I remember, and I've told you this, there was a woman who her son-in-law killed her daughter, and it was at the trial. And the family had a section where they could tell him what they thought, and they really got up, and you know, like they would. But the mother got up. And she said, I know my family's going to be very upset. But she said, I don't condemn. I feel sorry. I want you to find Jesus. I want your life. I want you to have a life. And it was amazing to that courtroom. But I thought, isn't that, this is what Jesus talks about when he says that we can look at those who are in hard place and we can forgive them. And not forgive them that you don't want to see them get just what they need, justice, because God is a very just God. If you think you're just, you wait until you see his judgment. He's a very just God, but he also is a very merciful God when it comes to the spiritual. He wants that. Who was it? Oh, it was the man in New York. Sam, do you remember him? The one that killed those women in New York. He did so many terrible things. Something Sam. I forget what it was. Son of Sam. That's what it was. It was the son of Sam. And finally they got him. But you know, in prison he became a true Christian. And he really lived out his last life before he I don't know if he had life or if they hung him. I don't know what they did. But he really found God. Now, they didn't, I don't think they should let Sam, that man, out, because, you know, that he did what he did. He deserves whatever it was. But in God's sight, you see, he was merciful to the soul. Now, he always says, the word of God is very plain. When a man does something, he's going to reap that. He's going to have to face it. But as children of God, we are not the one who's going to give out the terrible judgments. So therefore, when we look at these things, like that woman did, she was looking at it from God's eyes. She wanted, I'm sure she was glad that he was going to be in prison, that he was going to have the sentence, but she was looking beyond that to the spiritual need of the person. So we have to sort of think about that. You know, I have to very... I've told you, I'm very political. I was very political. I'm not anymore, but I was very political. Oh, I mean, I was political. I didn't care what country I was in. I was very political. When I was in Cayman, or not Cayman so much, but in Antigua, I had to go before one of the big guys there and defend something. And when I was, you know, in Taiwan, I was interested in politics, you know. So after 2008, I saw that my politics were no more fun, no more just, I felt something different. I really began to get a real, something real against Obama. And against, you know, I mean, really real. I felt it. I didn't like him. I didn't, you know, and everything was, until it started getting on me, until I got, my pressure went up. And I was having trouble with my pressure. And it was God that said to me, stop watching a certain, you know, political thing. And so I haven't since then, and my pressure's done well. Wonderful. But I learned, I began to see God was showing me that though I don't know Obama, he's never done a thing in the world as far as physically or, you know, toward me as a person. I had to get out of that and not let that thing become so personal. Until now, even on Facebook, when they have these things about him, I have to screen up. I don't even look at them. I don't even read them. I don't want them to incite me anymore. So actually, we do have to watch ourselves. We're really funny. You know, people, men and women, we're really a funny bunch. But anyhow, we'll go on. Sometimes we want to retaliate. They slander. Whenever they can say anything that can hurt that person, they're there to do that. They're haughty. Like we said, they're prideful. They're haughty. They don't want anything to do with them. And then, of course, we talked about the bitterness. So what the last half there, I would like you to look at them in the Word of God that you can study them. Resistance, annoyance, they're negative about them. It all goes together with the part at top. And it might do you good if in your Bible study that you're doing, your devotion, if you just take each one of these and read what God says about them. You know, that's why we get in so much trouble at times, because we don't know what God said about it. And so sometimes you'll say, but I was ignorant of that. But the Word is there, and it's for us, as our brother said today, to hunger and thirst after, so that we can know what God wants and what God has said. Now, let's look at the forgiving heart. And this is the heart that has come to the place. And you're going to have to understand, forgiveness is not emotional. You know, I emotionally, you know, I forgive them. We do that often, but it never works. Forgiveness is of the will. Forgiveness is when I myself say, Lord, with your help, I'm going to forgive them. And really every time, Lord, I am forgiving them. And you will be surprised how that thing will change you, because you have made up your mind and decided, this is enough. I'm finished. And lots of times he may ask you to go to the person and say to them, I'm sorry, I feel like I had bad feelings, and I want you to forgive me. He may not. It depends on what the circumstances is. Because there has to come, in some circumstances, there has to come a place where you do say you're sorry, because it's such an open break that you have to be able to mend some of that. You know, you have to understand, all of us, no matter what situation we're in, the other person is not 100% wrong. Sometimes it's our attitudes. Sometimes we don't know how we brought that person to that place. Sometimes it's a spirit we have. And we don't even sometimes feel, oh, that's not bad. I did, you know, I tried to help her. But have you ever noticed body language? We only understand 7% of what people say. They say children only understand about 7% of what you say. But oh, how much of they know by their body language. I forget what it is, 60 or 80%. People get what you mean by your body language. So actually there are times that you and I have these things bother us and the person, what they have done, and yet we do not know altogether how we have appeared. And I've said that to say this, that when we have to go and say we're sorry, remember that you are partly it. It may be 1%, it may be 10%, it may be 30%. But at least I can go to them and say, I'm sorry for the part I've had in this, but you hurt me, and I want you to know that I forgive you. They might say, I don't want you to forgive me. You know, I don't know what they'll say, but don't let that bother you. Whatever God lays on your heart, just do. We see that lovingly. Now, this word love is been so, how can I say it? It's been so defigured. Maybe that's a good word. Because we have, since Shakespeare's time, the Romantics came in, we live so much by our emotions. And love has become another word. It really has. When people call me on the phone and say, well, I'll see you later, love you, I know they don't love me. They like me? Oh, yes, they like me. But love is something altogether different. Love is when I care more for that person than I care for myself. And I know some of them don't care for me more than they care for themselves. But they like me. You see, you and I have to understand this word love is a very deep word. And that's why a husband and wife can say, I love you. Why? Because they're caring more for that person than they do for themselves. That's why you can say to your children, I really love you. Because you're caring for them more than you care for yourself. Look at the mother. She's dead tired, and the child's still on running on full, you know, and yet she puts up with it because she loves them. She cares for them more than she cares for herself. But when we get out there and in life, you know, we need to recognize, you say, but I love you. Well, you can love them in Christ. Now, the love in Christ is a different thing. Loving them in Christ is that you do care about them. And many times we should care more for them than we do ourselves. But we do care for them. Yesterday, I went to Crockerville all by myself. I had gone to a seminar yesterday morning. And on the way home, I had to drop Dorothy off so she could meet her husband. So I thought, I'm going to go eat. So I went to Cracker Barrel by myself, which I don't get to do often, but I do like it. So when I got there, and it's just me one, you know. And so the girl came, and the place was crowded. I had to wait 20 minutes before I could sit down. The place was crowded. And those poor girls were running like their heads, you know, like chickens with their heads off. And so this woman came, and she looked so tired. She was an older woman, looked so tired. And the Lord said to me, tell her you're going to pray for her. So she came back and I said, you know, you look so tired. I'm going to pray for you. And that woman, she couldn't do enough for me. She just was, you know, I did care. I cared about what she was, that she was under. And that was not me. That was God's love in my heart. You see, that's where the difference come in. You say, I love you as a Christian. We can say, I love you, and we really do love them. We may not even like them, but we love them. We care about them. And so we need to understand. And so we'll have a loving heart. You don't keep record of the bad things that offenders have done. You see, even 1 Corinthians 13, when it talks about love, that's one of the things it says. You don't keep account of what people's done to you. Now, that is when the love of God is in your heart, because you have forgiven and the heart is clear. Joyous, taking to heart the goodness of God and his sovereignty over all events in life, even the painful ones. You see, that's when you can get to the place, and we want to mature in God to these places. And the closer you get to him, the more these things are going to come out in you. But when somebody does something, you can actually be joyful. You know, well, Lord, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, they didn't hurt me. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You know, what the old little children used to say. And so we can be joyful. We can be peaceful. Seeking to resolve any difference, hurt, or division. Wanting the offenders to be right with God and be blessed by him. You know, this brings a peace to our heart. I've often said, you know, lots of ladies, because I work with ladies a lot. What you want us to pray for? My husband. I'm praying that he'll get saved. He has the earth's anger. I've thought to myself as I've learned some things, they want him to get saved so they'll feel better. So their life will be easier. So that things will be nice. You know? So actually what they're saying is, ask that the Lord save my husband so I can live a better life. What actually love is, I want you to say, help, pray for my husband because he's lost. And without God, he's going into eternity lost. There is that sense of, and when we do this kind of thing, God knows the heart, and you yourself will be more at peace with each other. You know, and as we said, the opposite of the heart that's bad, or the heart that is sin because of unforgiveness, and we ask they're unpatient, God's children can be patient. Accept what the offer is not fixed in, you know, accept that the offense is not fixed in cement, you know, and could possibly change. So we wait. We pray, we wait, we ask God, and sometimes it really comes about. We're kind to people. I've often said, if you want me to be really nice to you, then let me get something in my heart against you. Because when I get it in my heart against you, the Lord speaks to me, and then I feel very badly, and then I'm extra kind to you. I'm disclosing myself here. But it's true, you know? I feel like, you know, there's something in us that, as a child of God, we want to be kind. And this is the one thing that if in our marriages we loved each other so much, one of the great things that helps a marriage is kindness, just to be kind to one another. You know, it doesn't take as much energy as fighting. You know, fighting works on your stomach, your digestive system. It works on your blood pressure. And it makes you feel your emotions. You feel, ugh, you feel bad. All of that is what happens when you start fighting. But if you are the type that can be kind to each other, then and forget the fighting in the areas, you'll be a much healthier person physically, as well as emotionally and spiritually. Faithful, we pray for that person. Pray that God will help them. We're gentle. We don't want to wound them anymore. We try to, you know, I get in a lot of trouble, even with Mrs. She sometimes, because I'm always trying to find the good part of the person. And she knows the good part. She doesn't feel like the good part's there. But, you know, we need to do this. We need to not set our eyes on hurting them, but try gently to make it realize that this is bad, but, you know, we need to show the Spirit of Christ with them. And then, of course, it gives us self-control. When we can control ourselves, when everything else is falling around us, we're a witness for God. We are. And that's why in some families, when there's a Christian and there's big trouble, we find that person on both sides. And one gets mad with us and the other gets mad with us, but that's all right. When they need to know somebody to talk to, need somebody to help them, they'll come to you. So I wonder, do you have any questions about any of this? Well, then let's go on. You see, let's look at I won't go through all of those. You can go through them and read the scriptures. The results spiritually. If we have unforgiveness in our heart, we're going to become spiritually dry. God is not going to bless us. He's not going to be with us in the sense of feeling his presence. When we try to feel connected with the Lord but lack spiritual growth, how many people have come, Sister Schwartz, I just can't feel close to God. I don't know what is wrong. I don't know what's happened. But if they search, they'll find out. The Holy Spirit can show them why they are dry. Why there's times we do because of Satan or our faith is weak. But many times with the unforgiving spirit, that's why they cannot get anywhere with God. They don't seem to grow spiritually. There is just a hindrance there. You see, unforgiveness blocks the door to salvation and God's forgiveness. If we don't forgive others, he said, I can't forgive you. Unforgiveness allows a root of bitterness to grow in us. And when that happens to us, Christ cannot. And that's why he said, if you don't forgive, I can't do it. I can't forgive you. Because there's bitterness in your heart. Unforgiveness causes us to walk in darkness. We want the light of God, but it seems like we can never get clear through. We don't understand why sometimes. And maybe we've hidden so much this thing in our heart that we don't know what it is, but God can show us. Unforgiveness is of Satan. You know, we hear little children, we see little things when they're in the comics, and they'll have a righteous angel here and the devil sitting over here, you know. And but you know, there's more truth than that, than fiction. I believe that when we have these battles and temptations, Satan is one ear and the Holy Spirit's trying to, our conscience is trying to show us better. And so many times, you know, we walk in darkness because we won't listen to the little voice that says, you know, that's not good, that's not right. But Lord, she did this to me. You know, we can give a lot of reasons and excuses. Unforgiveness reflects a godless heart. Unforgiveness makes us a prisoner in sin. There is nothing more wonderful than when the power of God works in our life and we can forgive someone. And the chains of those, that thing that's been holding us, and the lightness we feel because we have done what God wants us to do. We have forgiveness. Forgiveness is a prison. Forgiveness makes us heavy. Forgiveness does all of these things. And that's why he said we must do it. Now, I didn't say it was easy, because our emotions are so involved in these things. I know sometimes when something's happened in your marriage and it's broken up, and you just feel like you can hardly forgive them, you say. And I've had people, I can't forgive them. The way they were, I can't forgive them. Well, see, God says we have to forgive. And this is where we need to come before God and say, Lord, make me willing to forgive. Make me willing to forgive. In my heart, I can, but I need your help to make me willing. So forgiveness opens the door of salvation. Forgiveness takes away that root, keeps that root away from us. I don't like bitterness. I hate bitter things. You know, the taste, oh, I don't like them. You know, the other day, Dorothy's girl, Jennifer, she was feeding her son a plum. And when she ate it, bit it for him. Oh, you see the face she made. It was bitter. But you've seen the son. He was just eating away. He could take the bitterness. I don't like things that are bitter. Okay, and of course it closes the door to Satan in our lives. A lot of times the things that we fight over and little things that bothers us is because Satan is there nagging us. We've allowed him a foothold into our lives. And when we do the things God wants us to do, then that foothold is broken. Forgiveness reflects a godly heart. It frees us. Forgiveness is an empowerment by the Spirit of God. He empowers us. You see, friends, he wants us to live a good life. He wants us to live a happy life. He wants us to live a blessed life. That's what the Beatitudes are about. Blessed, happy, you know? But we can't when we have a lot of these things that in themselves make us unhappy, make results of attitudes and feelings and this kind of thing that becomes a part of us and we carry it around as baggage in our life. That's the one reason why I went into counseling. Because I recognize, I preached and preached for years, and I still preach. But sometimes they go on for a long time and nothing ever happens. They just go on and on. And when they need something, and I found out that many times they need to find Jesus in the sense that they have so much baggage that they cannot really reach out to God the way they should. They can't. And so they wonder why they can't find any spiritual help or why they can't be forgiven. There are reasons, because God is too anxious to help us. He says it many times in his word. So there is reasons why God is not coming to our rescue. And that's what we need to find out. Why is it that I'm like this spiritually? Well, may God bless you. Lord, please help our people. Myself, keep us to the place where we can forgive. In Jesus' name. Well, go get your coffee now. As I say with envy. thank you, honey,
so much for your help. Hmm? Yes, it is.